This is the Cubs related podcast. Corey and I are talking to you on a Monday, December 5th. We are about halfway through the winter meetings. Corey is going to catch us up right now. So, Corey, what do we got?
Well, first, I want to do a quick what Cubs championship related merchandise are we wearing tonight, Brennan?
I have my Cubs championship locker room official hat on. And I am currently looking at my World Series champions pennant that is taped to my wall right now.
Nice.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't have any t-shirts on. My World Series
championship. Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I need to wash that. I've been wearing it too much, but I've yet to
purchase. I just thought a good place to check in.
Yeah, World Series champions. It still has a nice little ring to it, huh?
Are you going to ask me what I'm wearing?
I was going to, yes.
Nothing.
Are you wearing any clothes whatsoever?
Straight out of the shower. no, joking. I am actually today enjoying my National League champions raise the flag.
Raise the flag, I think, is what it is.
Yeah. Great shirt.
You know what I want? I can't find them anywhere. And if you can find this, whoever's listening, please let me know. I want that World Series National League Champions hat, that gray one. Do you have that one?
I do.
Okay. I cannot find that anywhere. So if any of you have that anywhere.
Really?
It's not on the Cubs shop. It's not there.
Yeah, maybe they gave up on making it after they won the whole thing.
I sort of want to buy like two extra copies of the traditional locker room champion's hat, just in case, you know.
I wouldn't worry about it. You'll don't get it now. Get the one next year. You'll be fine.
I like it. All right. Well,
anyway, so
yeah, catch us up.
I, for one, have been watching the MLB Network all day, and the winter meetings are a fun time, especially when you're going there with at least a small group of people that you know or have some people to meet up with, have a beer with, that type of stuff. It's all good fun. But watching the MLB Network all day with their sets in the hotel lobbies and stuff, I do not miss being in a suit and carrying around my portfolio of resumes at all.
You did not do that. Did you actually do that before?
Yeah, that's how you get jobs in this industry. You go and meet with the people, and
You've been to the winter meetings, then, is what you're saying. I never knew this.
I've been to the winter meetings twice, I think.
Do you need access? I mean, or is it just...
No, I mean, you can show up there and just stand there and watch everybody do this, go over to the sets and stuff like that. It's a hotel, you know? But all the teams have... You know, it's like a giant hotel. I mean, usually. I haven't been to this place in Maryland specifically, but it certainly looks like it. And, you know, every team will have...
I'm surprised a reception. I'm surprised you just can't... Or that you can just walk right through and...
Well, because, you know, most of this stuff is taking place in those banquet rooms or, you know, some offshoot portion of this, you know, giant complex of a hotel. And the teams will have like minor league receptions and stuff for, you know, the various people at different levels to get together. But not only can you not get into it, but you wouldn't really, I don't think, even have any way of knowing that it existed unless you were, you know, on the email list or something like that. So, but I just, you know, if you are doing that or know someone doing that, all the power to you. I hope you land a job. But I have really never missed anything less in my life because that's a real miserable experience. So, yeah. Anyway, just to catch you up on, I believe where we are. So again, this is Monday night. I would assume you're probably listening to us either later on this Monday evening or on Tuesday morning. And where we are right now is that there is a lot of talk of Chris Sale being traded to the Washington Nationals. We have heard guys like Lucas Giolito mentioned as names that would be coming back to Chicago. Nothing official there, but that's definitely I think, the biggest rumor of the first 2 days of the meetings. I think it seems to have the most traction. All the various beat writers seem in agreement that that is something that is indeed being heavily discussed. So we'll touch on that and how we feel about another National League power, perhaps getting one of the best pitchers in baseball. As far as the Cubs go, the name we're hearing the most is Jorge Soler. We have heard specifically that the Royals are interested, that the Rangers are interested, and of course the ever vague American League teams are interested. So it sounds like he's garnering a lot of interest from people with the intention of perhaps not playing him in the field every day. So we'll touch on that and Soler's value. I think specifically Soler as it relates to Wade Davis, as that's, I believe, the only trade we kind of have names on both sides that involves Jorge Soler. Another thing to look at, Tyson Ross, a guy who the Cubs had looked at a lot, who has been linked to the Cubs for, you know, the better part of the last couple years. And there was a lot of rumors, I think it was last year, with him being traded for Javi Baez or Soler. So he was non-tendered by the San Diego Padres.
Unbelievable.
Allowing him to sign with any team he chooses. So something that everybody will be checking in on. And really, right away when it happens, we'll get into it more later, but it really just screams Theo and Jed, you know, where you'd be able to get a guy.
That is why, of course, I don't want Chris Archer. But continue, we'll get into it.
Yeah, and I think the only other thing I have is... And, you know, you always have to take this stuff with grains of salt because you're not really sure who's putting this out there. But we have heard that Toronto has offered our man Dexter Fowler a 4-year, $60 million contract. And let me do a quick Twitter search.
I also read that as well. It seems very odd to me that Toronto would throw out that offer early in the game. It seems to be way below market value.
That's kind of why I say you gotta, you know, you never know if that's the kind of thing that's coming from Dexter Fowler's camp, from someone on another team trying to drum up the value. You never know, but it's the only specific number that we have.
Right.
It's all over the place. It's hard for me to pin down right now what the source is, but it's, you know, it's being put on, you know, some fairly reputable sites. But, you know, like I said, let's just take it with a grain of salt. But that is the only actual tangible number that's floating around there. And Toronto is a team that, you know, was linked to Fowler once the offseason got started as a potential place that he could fit. So that, I think, catches us up on any Cubs-related stuff that you might need to know. I guess the other one is that obvious, and this was kind of before the winter meetings, but Andrew McCutchen's name being thrown around an awful lot.
Even with Washington, too.
Yes. Washington is all over the place. Mm-hmm. Not really sure what they're doing, but they are all over the place. So.
And a few other side notes. This happened few days ago, but worth noting, the Cubs were showing interest in Daniel Hudson, former top prospect, pitched for the Diamondbacks for a few years, had 2 Tommy Johns, primarily a reliever now, throws upper 90s. I personally like him.
Mm-hmm.
But the one pitcher I'm most excited about, I'm even more excited about him than Ross, is Ruby De La Rosa. Corey, I want the Cubs to sign Ruby De La Rosa, give him a shot at that fifth starter spot, and if it doesn't work out, transform him into that super utility reliever. I think that is the perfect arm on the market, even more so than Tyson Ross. But we can get into that.
Interesting. Well, and it's something that has been talked about a lot, that, you know, we're kind of right now slotting Mike Montgomery into the rotation, and the role that Montgomery played last year, not something that you want to lose. So you'd kind of have to find that next man up to take that spot, the guy who can come in and eat a few innings, be used situationally for a longer period of time than some of these other guys. So that's certainly something that I would imagine the Cubs are looking at. But let's start with the Chris Sale rumors, because I think that that's the big talk of – where are they, Maryland? It's hard to know because they're at a hotel in Maryland, but kind of when you hear people talking about it, it's like the winter meetings in D.C. So I don't –
the logo looks like a presidential campaign logo, that winter meetings logo. I don't know if you've seen that, but yeah.
I'm just saying the hotel is in, I think, National Harbor, Maryland. So, okay. And I guess I don't know. I've never been there. I think they're sort of one and the same, but we'll just call them the winter meetings. So that's been the real talk. So I'll throw this to you. What do we make of, And this is something that is certainly a very different answer, at least it is for me, once the Cubs have won the World Series, which they did about a month ago.
Just they won to the World that. Series.
They did.
The Cubs.
In fact. Okay. And so I think the answer is different now that that's over and done with. But what do you make of another National League power, a team that was – you know, running for a while neck and neck with the Cubs for the best record in the National League. And I think to a lot of people, you know, might have been the second best team in the NL, certainly at various points in the year. So they're talking about Andrew McCutchen. They're apparently the leader. And, you know, I don't know if they're close, but there's a lot of smoke, you know, near that fire for Chris Sale, which would give them a rotation of Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, and Chris Sale. Just at the top. Mm-hmm. And so what do we how do you feel about that? What's your approach to that?
Well, looking at the Nationals rotation right now, it was even last year the second best rotation in Major League Baseball. It had a 3.58 FIP as a whole unit. Now, what do I think about the Nationals adding Sale to that mix? Well, of course, it scares me in a playoff setting. Do I think the Nationals need him to win the division? No, I think the Nationals can win the division again without Sale. So this is strictly looking at a small, short series scenario. And of course, that scares the hell out of me. At the same time, I think Giolito, that's how you pronounce his last name, right?
I believe so. Okay. That's close enough.
He also scares the hell out of me. So I could see a scenario. I don't know if it would be this year that Giolito would actually develop enough to be considered one of those powerhouse pitchers. But it wouldn't be as if the Nationals would be saving major league talent. For all intents and purposes, Giolito will be on a major league baseball team next year, whether it is with the Nationals or with the White Sox, or who knows, maybe even with the Pirates if they are able to land them.
Mm.
So I think it makes the Nationals a lot better. I really do. But I also think there is some small risk to this deal. I say that because although Sale actually did have a pretty good year by run prevention numbers, it wasn't one of his best years. And would you be surprised if I told you that his ERA, while good, was still 3.34, and the previous year is 3.41. But also similar to his ERA is his FIP last year of 3.46. His XFIP was 3.58. We've talked about limitations of FIP, but the majority of his...
And he got taken deep by KB at the All-Star game.
Yeah, on a first pitch fastball down and in. And KB supposedly does not hit good pitching. But anyway... the point I'm making is that Chris Sale actually might be regressing a little bit. His fastball velocity, Corey, how much lower do you think it is, if you had to take a guess?
Lower than what?
Previous year, in 2015.
Take a mile off?
Okay, so... 2015, on average, was 94.5 miles per hour. 2016, 92.8 miles per hour. And that's a little concerning. Granted, he threw more two-seamers last year. Still, that was down 1.5 miles per hour. So there is a velocity decrease. And it looks as if he's throwing significantly more sliders in years past. And substituting sliders for changeups. So he halved his changeup rate from the previous 2 years last year. So what this tells me, and this is all in theory, this is just conceptualizing what this all means. He has a velocity dip. He's throwing more of his nastiest pitch, which is his slider, maybe as a compensation mechanism, maybe not, who knows. And he's not throwing his changeup, which would be his, quote, worst pitch, while still very good, not as good as his fastball or slider. So the point I'm making is Sale is not immune to regression. And we know that there has been injury concerns with Sale in the past. He acquired 226 innings last year, 208 the previous year. His velocity is going down, like I said. I would not be surprised if we see Sale be a good pitcher, but is it going to really put the Nationals over the top? I can't really tell you if that's going to make a dramatic difference. I really can't say that. I think going into a series, if Sale is on top of his game like he was in 2014, 2015, sure, hell of a move. But if he is like last year, Chris Sale, then it's like, all right, it's another solid lefty that you have to face. Do you disagree with that?
No. Well, and I hear Chris Sale's a really good teammate.
I heard he's a great teammate.
I was kind of kidding, but...
I'm joking, too.
Oh, okay. We're both joking, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, insert, awful uniform-cutting joke here. Mm-hmm. I didn't prepare one for the show, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think really the only point I wanted to make was as it relates to the Cubs, you know, all the power to them. The earliest that the Nationals would be a problem for the Cubs is October. And so they can build as good of a roster as they want. You know, the chances that the Cubs even play them in the playoffs, I don't know what they are, but it's not even a guarantee. You know, they didn't play them last year. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, you know, it was talked about that, you know, they were the best two teams in the NL and that they were, you know, on a collision course and all that other stuff. So, and it didn't happen. So all the power to them. And I do agree with you. It's always good for, a team that I guess is competing with you to start unloading some of their younger players. And, you know, look, if the Nationals can get through an entire season and show up in the playoffs with a healthy Steven Strasburg, Max Scherzer, and Chris Sale, they'll be awful tough. But they still, as of right now, only have, a handful of guys that can hit the baseball. And I would venture if you gave me, you know, will those three be healthy or will they not? I'd take they won't be easily. And, just to get another Cubs-related joke into this conversation, let's not forget who the Washington Nationals manager is. So, and that you can take that as a joke related to keeping pitchers healthy, or you can just take it as a joke as they can give Dusty all the good players in the world, and he'll probably find a way to get in the way. So, yeah, my takeaway from that is that nobody, at least currently, is better positioned to win the National League than the Chicago Cubs, and I don't necessarily foresee that drastically changing in the coming days. And one other note, actually, on that same thing that I forgot to include in that little rundown in the beginning, the San Francisco Giants signed Mark Melancon.
Oh, wow.
I do not have the number in front of me right now, but I believe it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, contract for a reliever possibly ever, if I'm
yep, it is the biggest not making contract that up. Ever. $62 million over 4 years.
Ooh,
wow.
Man. I think it's for me, that's way too much money. Or just for him and too long, and I'm not a fan of it. I don't want anything to do with it. But I think when you go out the way the Giants did last year, it seems like somewhat of the appropriate reaction from them, don't you think?
We're going to see Jansen get $90 million at least. I really think that. I think Jansen will get $90 million.
Well, and it's very interesting now because, and this to me is one of the situations that when people get excited about the winter meetings and they talk about the hot stove and stuff like that, this is the thing to watch. That you're going to have now Melanson getting this enormous contract, and I think to everyone he's the third best of this group. So right. Now you have the two heavy hitters here. In Aroldis Chapman and Kenley Jansen, who now you have one team out. We assume that the Giants are not going to be in the market for those guys, although it wouldn't necessarily surprise me if they doubled down. But you take them out, and now it's up to these other teams who are looking for a closer, so possibly the Dodgers, possibly the Yankees.
I heard the Marlins. Who,
right, the Marlins, I believe, offered to Kenley Jansen, or at least that report was going around as well. Kind of like the Dexter Fowler one. Yeah, and, you know, now you kind of have to, as a team, you kind of have to evaluate, like, okay, how quickly do we need to move here? There's only two guys left that we were, you know, looking at, and now the money is only going to get bigger. So an interesting move there, and, you know, obviously what the Giants needed. So we'll see what they come back with. Another one, Rich Hill re-signs with the Los Angeles Dodgers. That was 3 years, $48 million. Okay. And I don't know, Brendan. And this is, you know, we're getting a little off Cubs. We'll get on to Jorge Soler in a second here. But not even an indictment of Rich Hill at all, because he was phenomenal in the playoffs for them and down the stretch for them. But for a team like the Dodgers, who have this massive payroll, and all year, they must have led the league or been very close in innings lost due to injury.
Yes.
3 years for a 37-year-old Rich Hill, who in the last however many years only has that like 3 month sample from this year.
So can I counter to your argument?
Absolutely. Sure. I'm not saying I disagree with it. It's more from the Dodgers. It's just they lost so many innings due to injury, including Clayton Kershaw. It just seems like a weird move to me.
The counter argument to Rich Hill would be, with these new luxury tax implications, teams are going to want to get underneath these thresholds to save more money. And a strategy around this would be to lower somehow the annual average value of a contract. So let's say that the Dodgers really value Rich Hill to be worth $24 million next year, if he's healthy, right? That right now is the market value for about a 3-win pitcher. So I think it's pretty realistic that Rich Hill would accumulate 3 wins next year. So what I think the Dodgers did there was, in their minds, give a 2-year, $48 million contract, but they spread it out over 3 years to lower their annual average value rate for luxury tax purposes. I don't think they really envisioned Rich Hill producing value in that third year. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I mean, I get it. It just is one of those where I'm watching it and I don't know. He's 37 years old and was pitching an indie ball last year. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, from a money perspective and stuff like that, like, it makes sense. But anyway, I'm going to update you here.
Yes.
At 10:57 p.m., Bob Nightingale tweets, "The White Sox did not come close to trading Chris Sale tonight, but acknowledge the Nats were very aggressive in proposals." So, as with everything else, you kind of have to take that for what it's worth. But right. So, at least for now, Chris Sale is still a member of the Chicago White Sox. So, let's go to Jorge Soler.
Yes.
So, Jorge Soler's name coming up in these rumors. And when I say that, I am only referring to these main, like the main guys that you were seeing on the MLB Network, Ken Rosenthal, John Heyman, Jason Stark, these guys, you will never hear Brendan and I mention, you know, just some random thing we saw on Twitter or something like that. So if I'm saying people talking about it, people tweeting about it, I'm referring to the big group of, you know, Buster Olney, Peter Gammons, these guys. So we have heard Soler individually connected to the Kansas City Royals in potentially some sort of Wade Davis deal. We have heard him individually connected to the Texas Rangers and then to American League teams as a whole. So
whatever that means.
What do you, how do you feel about Wade Davis?
No, that's how I feel.
Okay. To Wade Davis at all, or Wade Davis for Jorge Soler?
To Wade Davis for Jorge Soler is a deal
let's touch
like.
On. So for me, this is a very interesting situation for the Cubs, because right now I would say Jorge Soler's value is probably the lowest that it's been, or close to
it. I disagree.
When was it lower?
Well, the lowest it has been, but relative.
That's not what I said. Because he's not, you know, he's not a prospect anymore, and, you know, he's had a couple injuries and stuff. So, and it's an interesting perspective from the Cubs, because at this point you're asking yourself, how many innings and at bats and games are they ready to commit to him? We've touched on this before, but when you have kind of a backlogged outfield,
I don't think that affects his market value, though.
No. I don't think it affects his market value at all. I'm just saying how you're approaching this if you're the Cubs front office.
Okay.
You know, you're trying to get fair market value for a guy, but what is your valuation, you know, of his value to your own team right now? And I think it's an interesting thing to balance, because I think at this point, at least my reading on it would be that the Cubs would like to get value from him, from Jorge Soler. But at least in my estimation, I have to imagine that moving him might be more valuable to the team than keeping him and only playing him, you know, twice a week or whatever it would be. And again, this is one of those things where if they have a different vision for that, you know, and right now they're thinking, oh, no way, like we're planning on starting Jorge all the time, you know, then I, you know, okay. But I, going off of what we've seen and what we're kind of assuming, I don't think that's the case. So what are your feelings on moving Soler? What would you like to get back for him?
First, the idea that Soler doesn't have much value on the market, I'm not buying that. Corey, if Soler was an international free agent...
Who's saying that?
I've seen it on Twitter, people suggesting that's the case. And I'm not saying, like, big writers, I'm not saying that. But just, you know, people I see on Twitter. Corey, if he was an international free agent, he would not be eligible for a bonus more than $5 million. He's still 24 years old. That's insane. So there is tons of market value for a player like this. He has major league experience. He had a .338 wOBA last year. He had an above average wOBA the year before. Injuries, yes, have halted his career a little bit. But we're talking about a young, cost-controllable talent that's not making much money, that's under team control for 4 years, that if he were an international free agent, conceivably he would have probably waited in this market today one more year so that he could get a $50+ million contract. People like Soler don't exist right now because of this new market. You're not going to get players like this. So I don't want to give a player like Soler up for 1 year of a relief arm. I just don't want to do it. I'm open to trading Soler, but I'm not open to trading Soler for a pitcher last year who's coming off 43 innings, who's 31 years old, who as a relief pitcher is volatile in nature in terms of what we can expect value-wise, I don't want to risk that. I'm much more comfortable putting Soler in a package for maybe cost-controllable young pitching talent. Maybe that doesn't have the highest upside, or ceiling rather, but I really don't want to give him up for Davis. Is that fair? Am I crazy?
No, I don't think so. And yeah, I mean, Jorge Soler is a real interesting guy to look at here because, you know, his defense is no bueno. His arm is certainly fine. And, you know, it's not like he's, you know, I wouldn't call him unplayable in the field. You know, like you can get away with it. The Cubs have gotten away with it. It's not that big of a deal, you know, for the most part. You know, and he's gone through these, you know, kind of streaks as a hitter, but we do know that, you know, he's always near the top of exit velocity leaderboards as it relates to the Cubs and the league itself. And we have seen him in various periods. Obviously the 2015 NLDS stands out, but just go on these tears where he's just smacking the ball. And, you know, with the way the game is moving towards batted ball data and stuff, I think that's the majority of the reason that he's a tough guy for Cubs fans to even really consider giving up on, you know, let alone for a year of a reliever. Mm-hmm. Because they've seen it, you know, and they're looking at these things. And like you said, he's only in his mid-20s and, you know, there's just a lot of potential there. And you know, he certainly wouldn't be the first guy who, you know, took a second to kind of get it all clicking. You know, it's not like he's been in the league for 10 years. So it is not surprising to me that his name is coming up because I think he is probably the most expendable from the Cubs' perspective. And he certainly fits a lot better on an AL team where he can not play in the field, you know, every so often or never, if that's how they chose to do it. But yeah, I think it's one of those where it's kind of tough to get a read on exactly what his market value is right now, because it really does, I think just like it does amongst fans, it does seem even amongst some of these writers to vary how they, you know, see him, you know. And if you were looking only at the value he's created in his 2 years in the league, you know, it's not blowing anybody away.
But it's when not you possible. Kind of, it's literally not possible right now with these new international free agent restrictions to sign a 24-year-old player with that much experience,
right,
to be major league ready the moment you get him. You're only going to be signing international free agents that young who are maybe 17 to 20-ish years old. The rest will probably wait out till they're 25 years old because that is the new age limit where you can sign above that $5, $6 million threshold. So players like Jorge Soler are not accessible anymore. You cannot sign them.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, and this, you know, and it's a tough thing too, because I think if we were talking about a cost controlled starter, I'm, you know, much more inclined to throw him in a deal and make a move like that. But, you know, I don't know if I feel like if we're talking a year of a reliever at that point, you know, maybe just wait until the deadline.
And I like Wade Davis. It's not like I don't.
Yeah,
like
sure.
Him. But for a player with Soler's ceiling and what he's done in years past, who's under team control for 4 years, it just doesn't. I just would not like that. I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
I've heard Smiley's name out there, like Soler for Smiley, but I don't know. I don't know. I think we're on the same page.
Yeah, I think so. And we'll just have to, you know, keep an eye on that. It certainly wasn't something that sounded like, you know, it certainly sounded far from imminent or anything like that. Like I said, it was just the only concrete name. We didn't, you know, there was a specific mention of the Rangers, but we didn't get any idea on, you know, what that would be. I believe I read in one of the tweets that they were talking prospects that ranged from 7 to 20 something along those lines.
Okay.
You know, and that you'll have to, you know, take for what it's worth, because obviously that's a big range in quality and stuff. But yeah, I actually texted one of my former employers at the Rangers, and I told him, you know, look, why don't we cut out the middlemen? Why don't you and I just hash this out? We'll get something done that benefits everybody, and, you know, you can take it to John Daniels, and we'll just work it that way.
We'll report it here first on Cubs related, right?
Yeah, he agreed. So at least verbally, I think I'm in charge of this deal, but still waiting on Theo's approval of that. But
what do you think, Chris Archer? Do you want Chris Archer?
I mean, it depends on the price, though. And I'm assuming that I would say no to the price.
The price would be Soler or Baez, one or the other. Let's actually say Baez.
Well,
yeah. Let's say Baez and Ian Happ, and then
I'm out. No, done. Forget okay, this. Yeah, right forget there. It. No, okay. Forget it.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Let's say
I want a cost-controlled young, you know, pitcher, but I'm not trying to blow up the whole thing here. I no.
Even Soler and Ian Happ.
I'm more interested now. And I've thrown Baez in there. No, I'm not doing that right now.
I'm not even interested in Archer. I do not want Archer. I don't. He is an exact replica.
I think it's just a need who we can touch on here, but I think it's just a need to, you know, with Lackey going next year, with Arrieta probably going next year, with John Lester being, you know, what is he now, 33, 34 years old. And, you know, I think it's just I think they're feeling a little, maybe not desperate, but the urgency to replenish the system with starting pitchers that you control is nearing its fever pitch. So I think how they're going to, you know, if they end up overpaying or making a reactionary move in that regard, I don't know. But, you know, we are kind of nearing that point. So as it relates to Tyson Ross, that is a name that, you know, I think as soon as it happens, you have to assume that basically every team calls his guys and says, you know, what's the deal here? What are we looking at? Because you know, all things aside, this is a guy that, you know, had a lot of potential and that, you know, was the talk of many a trade rumor. And now he's available. So,
and the reason why he was not tendered a contract, in case people are confused, I didn't realize this at first, but Ross made almost $10 million in arbitration last year. So he is due for arbitration, obviously, again this year. And he's not going to make below what he made last year. So from the Padres standpoint, it doesn't make sense to pay someone like that with an injury history $10 million again. While it does suggest that him as a talent is not as good as he was like a year ago, it doesn't mean that he's not good in general. It's just the Padres don't want to pay $10 million for that risk. I'm expecting that maybe a team would pay like $6 million for that risk, right? So I throw the question to you, Corey. $6 million for Tyson Ross. Yes or no?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a Theo flyer if I've ever seen one. Yeah. You know, you throw him in there, let him work with Fazio, let him work with the medical team. And, you know, you see what you get. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But for a guy that, you know, you've been looking at anyway, I think, you know, you'd have to consider it.
Right. So he throws 40% sliders. 40%, that's a ton of sliders.
Oh, and also, you know, when doing this, you have to make sure that you get the accurate medical report from the San Diego Padres, not the one that they give to other major league teams.
Is Preller's suspension over?
I think it was only 30 days. I don't know when that started.
I don't know when it started either, but that was pretty funny.
It's a lot funnier for me because I worked with him for 3 months in the Dominican Republic when I worked for the Rangers.
Was he kind of a douchebag? Are you even comfortable saying
that? I'm comfortable saying anything because I didn't think so. I always thought he was a nice guy. Okay. Now, granted, I was not interacting with him on, you know, a high level like these, you know, members of other front offices when they're dealing with him as far as trades and stuff like that go. But nice guy to me. So and just weird, you know what I mean? Weird to read those headlines, you know, for someone that you were working for however long ago, you know, that they're and then, you know, like especially when they were talking about do they have to enact a Preller rule, you know, and I'm just like, well, this is funny. But anyway, yeah, just get the right medical reports. Seriously, though, they will try to deceive you. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think that's, you know, it kind of goes back to where the Cubs are as a whole in kind of a, I think, a nice way to circle us back here that they're probably not in the market to do a lot of drastic things. Moving Soler, I guess, is borderline, but I wouldn't really call that drastic. But it doesn't seem like they're going to pony up the money for Aroldis Chapman or Kenley Jansen. It doesn't seem like they're in the market for any other big name free agents. You know, so we'll have to see, but it seems more like the John Jays and the Tyson Rosses of the world are where their attention is and kind of how can they kind of fill in the gaps from the World Series team with, you know, without doing too much. And, you know, then obviously you have the trade deadline and the, you know, the whole season to adjust if that doesn't pan out. But
I want Ruby De La Rosa so bad on this team.
I'm telling you,
he's going to be good. He's got amazing stuff.
I heard that if you tweet that to @Cubs on Twitter, they actually are in charge. Yeah, they're in charge of player moves and things like that. So, and they really love it when people tweet those things at them. So,
listen to my complaints as well. If I complain to them, will they fix them?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay, perfect.
I mean, other than that, if you're like me and a season ticket holder, you're getting a big fat price increase coming your way. But, you know, as I told my dad when he sent me the email, it is the price you pay to win a World Series.
But you have to do it and
try to, you know, turn a ballpark and neighborhood that have been around for 100 years into not a ballpark that has been around for 100 years. So, but yeah, other than that, it's just constant winter meeting stuff. So I would say the same thing that we kind of mentioned last time. You know, always just be careful of the sources here. Be on the lookout for that blue check mark for sure. And if you're like me, you have Through the Grapevine stuck in your head because the MLB Network insists on playing that same commercial about the winter meetings, even though I'm watching the MLB Network, right, to see the commercial. I never quite understood that. You know, it's like we have the best winter meetings coverage in the world. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm watching the MLB Network. Yeah. Like, I can't change the channel to this channel. You know, if they wanted to switch up the song, I it's a great song, but, you know, you hear it once literally every commercial break all day.
So I hear if you tweet at MLB Network, okay.
That one actually might work. They might actually take legitimate criticism. @Cubs, I don't think cares. But networks like that, you never know. I think that's what I got. I was thinking before we got on how nice it would be. Do you remember, and I know you're a Len Casper man, so I'm not sure how much you have heard.
I hate Pat Hughes. I love Pat Hughes.
Side note for everybody. If you did not watch, and because Brendan is so awful at social media, I'm assuming he has not seen these things. But the Cubs Twitter did a Q&A with Pat Hughes, and it is by far the cutest thing I have ever seen in my life. Pat is wearing this gorgeous, like, teal sweater, and they just ask him all these questions. And go on the Cubs Twitter, and I think if you go to like the media tab and scroll down a little bit, there's like, you know, maybe five or six or something like that, consecutive videos where they're asking him questions and he does a video answer. And if you don't come away from that thinking, man, I wish this guy was my grandpa, I don't know, because it was so amazing. And just, he is, you know, they ask him what it was like to be the first person on the radio to say that the Cubs had won the World Series, and he goes through his preparation for that and all that. And then at the end he says, you know, and I hope it came out all right. And it's like, of course it did, Pat. Like, you know, that, but just,
I can actually
that,
like, hear his tone in my mind right now without even watching it.
That's his thought process is just, you know, very, very, very amusing. Yeah. And so go check that out if you haven't seen it already. It's a really great sequence of videos.
And there was also a nice Q&A by Ken Rosenthal with Joe Maddon that I definitely recommend you to read if you are still a little upset with how Maddon managed the last few games. Definitely worth reading.
If you are still upset with how Joe Maddon managed the Cubs to a World Series championship.
The champions.
And then, but on the Pat Hughes thing, mm-hmm. I was just thinking, like, and I, you know, no idea, I'm assuming this wouldn't work, but just if we could get some opinions, how much better would this show be with one of those old, terrible WGN intro songs be? Like, my favorite, I don't know if you remember this one, Brendan, was Everybody Loves the Cubs. Do you remember that one?
Maybe. I don't know if I do.
Everybody loves the Cubs.
Can we just have you sing the intro?
Absolutely, because I love that song. And it's they're all just so bad but so good at the same time. You know, and then you get the ads, and then the Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just thought the show would be better.
What you're asking right now is, can someone please make us an intro song similar to that?
Or are we legally allowed to just steal one of those songs? And we would never really explain. In that particular song, they say, you know, it's baseball time again here on WGN. We just wouldn't explain that that wasn't the case, that you are not listening to WGN, that the Cubs are no longer even on WGN radio. But it's just, that's the song, you know? So, but yeah, if somebody wants to make us a theme song, that'd be great. As cheesy and terrible as you can get it would be even better.
The cheesier, the better.
But yeah, so as we were discussing, I think the last day of the winter meetings is officially Thursday, but usually, you know, that's like a travel day. People kind of clear out. Doesn't preclude anything from happening on those days, but it's, you know, these next two nights are when I think, you know, everybody is for sure in the hotel going to these events and, you know, meeting up with people. So, you know, I will be on Twitter and watching the MLB Network. And, you know, if you're following either of us, we'll, you know, probably be talking about anything if it happens. But otherwise, I'd just stick on Twitter yourself and, you know, wait and see. But I wouldn't really be holding my breath for anything on the Cubs front. And, you know, we'll see.
Don't say that. You never know.
I said don't hold your breath. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just saying, you know. And then, you know, look, I think we're in the territory now, especially that the winter meetings are coming and going, that, you know, get yourself emotionally prepared.
I can't. Don't even mention it.
Brendan, and I want everybody to. You have to get emotionally prepared to bid a fond and loving farewell to Dexter Fowler. I'm not insinuating that there's no chance he comes back, but we're in the territory where I think, you know, he's probably going to sign something soon. A lot of these guys like to get this done before Christmas, before the new year. And, you know, that's not always how it works out. It's not how it worked out for him last year, obviously, but you know, maybe get yourself in that mindset. I know, Brendan, you are certainly not ready, but it might be about time.
I've watched that last out in the World Series every day since it happened, at least five times.
Did you watch the thing on Friday, the FS1 thing?
I did. I did. I was very concerned I would not be able to watch it, but I did indeed watch it.
That was great. And
it was great.
Not only, Brendan, I'm going to throw this at you. Not only was Ben Zobrist the MVP of the 2016 World Series, he was the MVP of the documentary
of
the World Series that he was the MVP of.
He was great.
Just great. Just the best quotes. His energy is unbelievable.
Yeah.
For, I mean, he's doing these interviews. Who knows how long after this has happened? And just the best quotes, the best energy, really amazing. And that was a really good documentary. And I thought that Rajai Davis segment was almost as brutal as it was in real life. Just the absolute worst. And really interesting insight from Chapman there, I thought.
I was devastated, that's what he said.
To hear him talk about that and how specifically he was devastated and talking about how he didn't necessarily feel as great physically, but mentally he was all there and wanted to be doing it and stuff. I thought that was pretty fascinating. But yeah, if you haven't seen it, I know we made the mention of it beforehand, but I think that's the one that, you know, when they're talking about the DVDs, I think that's the thing that you get or something like that.
I believe
so. Yeah. So, you know,
there are excellent David Ross quotes in that documentary as well because they have him mic'd up.
Yes.
There's a good like 10 minutes worth.
Oh, man. I tweeted this, but one of the best parts, and obviously I'm going to think this, was when Joe Maddon goes out to get John Lester in Game 7. And as Lester's walking away, Joe Maddon turns to David Ross and just says, "Man, he's a really effing good player," or something. He's a damn good player. And David Ross responds back, "Oh yeah, he's a great player," or something like that. But the exchange is just amazing, where one of them swears, and you know I'd love to, but I'll restrain myself. But one of them says, "He's a great effing player."
Ooh, there was another great quote by Rizzo. How he was describing where he was when Ross hit that homer off Miller. And apparently Rizzo was downstairs in the clubhouse taking some practice hacks. And I loved it. You have to go watch it, obviously, to see Rizzo's effect. But he said he sprinted out into the dugout and gave him a hug. And there were lots of curse words flying around that dugout when it happened. So it was those little tiny mic'd up moments.
Or when David Ross turns to Tommy La Stella and says, "Tommy, I just went deep in Game 7 of the World Series."
I love it.
Yeah, that was good stuff. And I thought Vince Vaughn did a nice job narrating it. And there's another thing on the MLB Network on Thursday. It looks like a thing where they're interviewing some lifelong fans and stuff. I think it's called like Joy in Wrigleyville, maybe. The way they've been advertising it is, you know, seeing it through the eyes of diehard fans or something like that. Now, I lived in Wrigleyville all summer and I was not invited to participate in this, so I do feel a little slighted. And, you know, look, I can do the whole emotional, generational, you know, my father type thing. So, you know, I would have been a good candidate, is all I'm saying.
Corey,
but,
did you know my grandpa sold peanuts at Wrigley Field in the 40s? Did you know that?
I did not. No, yeah. I did not.
So I have that generational thing, too.
Mine is only my father, really. My grandfather was a big Cub fan, but that's on the other side of the family, and most of mine is straight down from my dad. But
we took my grandpa to Wrigley back in 2015. And he was sitting on the aisle, and the peanut guy comes up the stairs, and my grandpa pulls him aside, and he's like, "You know, I used to sell those. I used to sell those for a nickel. You guys are overcharging this." And he just kept talking to the peanut guy about like stories. I'm like, "Papa Joe, he has to go sell, you know, peanuts now. He can't just keep talking to the guy." So
when he would know.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you get up there in age, you kind of lose it a little bit. But
the moral of the story is that I think either Brendan or I really could have been considered for that, you know, but whatever. We'll watch it anyway, and we'll see how it is.
Maybe we'll be considered for the next one, the next World Series next championship video.
Yeah. No, that does sound great, actually. But, yeah, I think that's what I got for now. And, you know, I mean, we were even debating whether to pod tonight, even just because nothing has, in theory, really happened since we spoke to you last. But, you know, if we have to get on tomorrow or the next day, we will. So, you know, you never know with these meetings. So, but yeah, you know, keep an eye on everything and go Cubs, I guess.
On that note, we'll talk to you soon.